Good morning and welcome for the 7th day of June 2020. My name is Corey Lane and you're listening to Brass Tack Sunday with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. Now, today we're looking at events around the world as we continue to see, amidst this global pandemic, global protests for Black Lives Matter. Now, the question that we are seeking to answer before quarter past one is if this is a slight elevation of the norm that we are seeing so many people take to the streets from various backgrounds, ages, class, and creeds in support of Black people, and then we go back to business as usual, or if this is a watershed moment, if this is a turning point, a historical point that we can point to 20 years from now, which says that Black people have again elevated in terms of stature around the world. We have our political independence, supposedly. We have our independence physically with the shackles moved from the hands and the feet. Many says those shackles remain on the mind up to the day. We know of the financial shackles on many of our people around the world, and then the systemic issues. So today, we know that there are lots of periphery issues. There are lots of red herrings to be dragged across the main issue. But today, to now, on the 7th of June 2020, here on Brass Tack Sunday, we ask the question, is this a turning point or is it business as usual in a few days? To help me discuss this issue, we're going to bring them in right after the break, but I'm going to say good morning and welcome to my brothers, my comrades. We have Brother Nassar. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, he's waiting in the wings. We have Brother Buddy Laria. He's on the line. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning, Brother Corey.
And of course, we have Mr. David Denny, General Secretary for the Caribbean Movement for Peace and Integration. Good morning and welcome, Brother Denny.
Good morning, everybody.
Good. And now, this discussion, I'm having these guys, they're here to help carry the discussion, but of course, the discussion is nothing without you, and you know you can join us at 434-1790. That's the usual number, 434-1790. You could, of course, send your WhatsApp, short and readable all the time, to 266-IVOB. That's 266-4862. And of course, we don't usually do the WhatsApp call because of quality. But if you want to put in a call, message me on WhatsApp and I'll see what we can get done once we can get that line going nice and clean and clear. It's 5 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
All right, let's get on to Brass Tack. Let's seek to answer the question and then flesh it out. I start with you, Brother Nassar. You've been looking at this movement of our people for some time. You've seen all the marches, the protests, you've seen it all. What is your take on what is happening right now? Is this a difference or is this more of the same?
Well, first let me say good morning, Barbara. The truth is that you really can't tell there's a change until everything settles down and see how people act. You know, people have a tendency when they're hungry to kind of crave for food, but as soon as they get food, they forget that they get hungry again, they don't protect or put something in place that they get food again. The truth is that what's happening in America right to happen. I saw it have to happen over somebody's life. And there must be a change in this world, where from the time I had sense, I realized that Black people, no matter where they are in the world, are always oppressed, scarcely ever liked. They always say they're not intelligent. They can't do things. forgetting all the time that the entire Europe and America has been developed by black people. The truth is that we better understand that the change will not come unless we become very serious. I want to say this, sir. White, these people that we call white people, know that once they get into a relationship with a person of a different race, whether they're Chinese or Jew or who, that they will no longer be Caucasian as they know it. So the real fear of white people, as we call them, is that they believe that in another 100 or 200 years, there will be red people on the earth, but not Caucasian people on the earth. Hence, they do everything to keep people afraid, to make the women and the men be afraid of black people because they see the danger. And even here, Barbados, sir, check and see a lot of white men and white women that marry and vice versa. They don't breed. Check it and see. You know, we got to really look at these things. The time has come when there must be a serious economic balance in the world, and surely in Barbados. And I think that when we understand that, and people understand that God made us all, and that nobody, brilliant people on the earth, there are people with brilliant gifts, and those gifts should assist others, and I'm victimizing
the slave artist. All right, so let's go to Buddy Larrier. Buddy, are you there? Hey, good morning, Buddy. Hey, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, Buddy. You are on the air live. We can hear you. So you need to keep that in mind. The question that we ask him first before we unpack and get down to the flesh of it is, do you believe that this is a turning point, or do you believe this is just more of the same? And why?
No, Tory, this is a fundamental turning point. Yes, not a turning point.
Yes? Explain.
This is a fundamental turning point. Over the years, we have had a number of pandemics that have affected the world. This one is the first one that we have had where, let's say, right across the world, people have access to devices that they can see and hear what is happening around the world. So this is new. Secondly, this happened at a time when we know black people have been murdered constantly. This happened at a time when, for the first time, we have heard a person calling for help from their dead mother on public devices around the world. A man is calling for help from the ancestors. This has happened at a time when, as I say, the world is transforming. There's now a new dimension taking place. No one will disagree with that. This has happened at a time when Barbados is preparing, whether we know it or not, Barbados is preparing to commemorate the 400th anniversary of our colonization, which will culminate in 7 years' time, February 2027. So we have one more election in Barbados before a new Barbados will emerge. So this is not about no one off and going back. You cannot go back to something that is new. I hope that I have put that into context.
No, thank you. And I want to thank you very much for that. Let's go over to, we think we've lost, we've lost two of the three panelists. Now, we're getting some issues with the lines, but that is nothing to panic about. We will get them back on and we will continue the discussion. And do we still have Brother Nasser there? So we have no one there. So we still have Buddy. Oh, Buddy, you're still there?
Yes.
Well, let me talk to you in the meantime and in between time. Now, you follow this thing for many, many years. I think from the time I born, I hear you speaking on these issues. Have you ever seen the level of support for this movement that we are seeing right now? And I'm not only talking about the number of persons, I'm talking about the level of persons. So we've seen a number of world leaders come out. We've seen, even within that the epicenter, the United States of America, we've seen it being condemned somewhat weirdly, but even the president said it was a killing, it was wrong what the police did. The senators, Republicans, Democrats, you know, all of the Hollywood stars, the anchors, everybody. Have you ever seen that level of support behind one thing, the movement?
Not only have we have never seen it, we never expected it. Mm-hmm. You see, there's a difference between something happened and people respond, but you never expected it. Tori, and you're quite right, I have been waiting for this moment in 2020 for 43 years.
Wow.
For 43 years. Because in May 1977, I received a vision of a new world order for the 21st century with Barbados and CARICOM taking the lead. And at that time, I knew nothing at all about the history of the struggle of the world. I was not interested in black consciousness. But that was given. What was given to me. So you are quite right for that. For a long time, I have been advocating. And this is what happened in 1989. In 1989, I published my vision. This was seen as a... And you should know, I think you are aware of this. Because of my vision in 1977, I was put in a mental institution. And I created history in Britain by defying the odds against getting out of a mental institution and getting out in the way I did. I demanded to be released and was released on demand while on section. Never happened before. So we must understand, it was not business as usual.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have our guest back on. Mr. Denny?
Yes, sir.
Right, I'm gonna ask you the question and go on, because I have a lot of questions here online for you and comments of support. For yesterday and so on. So we're going to talk a bit about yesterday. But before we get there, I want your take on the question. Will we see change? Is this a turning point or just more of the same? Let's be honest.
Well, let me say that we will see changes. You know, I want to be upfront. Because this movement is now being led by the young people of the world. It's the youth are the ones who are leading this process. Because if you look, the team, the organizational structure comes out of Black Lives Matter. And that movement is being led by the youth of the world, especially the young people within the United States of America. So I think that this is something that will, a process that will come about that will allow us to see a number of changes in the world. So there's a very strong movement that is developing, and it have new leadership and very progressive leadership, because it's now being led by young people who see things in a more advanced way than our past fighters, and therefore I am hopeful that they will achieve their objectives.
So you are hopeful, but you're unable to see at this time from your viewing of history if you believe this is the turning point, or probably one of the turning points.
I think it's the turning point. Mm-hmm. in relation to us going into a new world.
New world.
Mm-hmm. Young people are not prepared to accept the same things that our foreparents and even my generation accepted. Mm-hmm. They are more advanced because they have the technology, as Buddy mentioned. They are more advanced because the youth in the States can now easily communicate with the young people any place in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The youth any place in the world can now communicate with young people in China, with young people in Bulgaria, and young people in Africa. The youth are communicating with one another, and they are more organized in terms of fighting this racist struggle. They are more organized. So I see new changes coming about because of these struggles.
All right, I want to go to the protests, and then, because all the lines are filled now, and I got a number of questions I wanted to lead the program with until we get everyone's questions coming in, and everyone is free to ask questions. As I say, you can use the WhatsApp, you can call, or we can try to get some of you, particularly those of you living overseas, on the line via WhatsApp. Now, the protest yesterday, can you tell me the mission of the protest, and if you feel, as the organizer, if it was fulfilled?
Well, the mission of the protest was that we organized yesterday under the Caribbean Move for Peace and Integration. We went there to demonstrate our solidarity with the people of the United States that are fighting a racist battle and a battle against police brutality. And I think we achieve our objective because we get our message across locally and also among the regional international media.
I think one of the things that gave you greater support was the fact that you had some confrontation, albeit I think it worked itself out in the end with the police. And I think that when those things happen, it kind of elevates the support. I'm getting lots of messages here online of support, and some people are very disappointed that they wouldn't allow more people to gather. They say, we have people on in Iraq, you know, people in England, Europe, Germany protesting. And here in free Barbados, a majority black country, we were not allowed to have more than 10 people. And people would like to get your comments on that.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, people, especially the young people of today, have access to information, and they can get information that in terms of all of the protests that are happening across the world, in Australia and in New Zealand, in Germany, in France, in the white world, so that when black people now in a 166 square mile country with 250,000 people want to protest, to express their feeling and solidarity with their family in the United States, I think that they should be given that opportunity. What we did, we applied to the Royal Barbados Police Force for permission. Permission was granted. They told us that we would only be allowed to protest with 10 persons. We accepted that. But we said what we will do, we will set up somewhere people can be rotated so that 10 persons can start the program or the protest. Then in 10 minutes, they can go. The other 10 persons can come. And then when 10 minutes finish, they can go. So as to allow everybody that was there, who was socially distancing themselves from one another, to participate in the protest action. This is a system that happens within the supermarkets and all the different shops in Barbados. And we just wanted to apply that system so that everybody would have been able to fully participate in the protest action. The Royal Barbados Police Force, through its Southern Division, through this inspector, indicated to us that they were not accepting that. What they were accepting was that only 10 persons can participate, and the same 10 persons will have to stand up there for the 2 hours, and we said no to that. And that was created the confusion between the Royal Barbados Police Force and the protesters yesterday outside of the U.S. Embassy. And I want to even go further, that to be able to protest and voice your opinion is a God-given right. And we follow the rules and regulation by applying. And to take away that God-given right from us is something totally wrong. And the Royal Barbados Police Force should apologize to the people of Barbados for carrying out such action, because they have painted a very bad picture about Barbados internationally. And if they want to be seen as a force that respects humanity, that respects human rights, and that is not an abusive force, then they should apologize to the people of Barbados so that the world would have a different picture about the Royal Barbados Police Force in Barbados.
There's a lot of support here online, but as usual, I like to pull out the one that goes counter to kind of bring some balance and some cut and thrust to the debate. This one says, Denny was wrong. When he applied to the march, that was not said that it will be rotated. You cannot get a license for one thing and then change it to something else. The police was right to stop the march. What do you say to that person, Mr. Denny?
But that person should understand that in all marches, sometimes you open up this, you start with six persons, and then later on you have 12, then you may go back to about six or seven. So sometimes some people come, spend time, and go. Okay? I think that we are just trying to be, I think we're trying to be unreasonable. Okay? Because if we say, yes, we respect the idea for 10 persons to participate, and we say we will rotate it, what is wrong? The issue is about bodies. It's not about numbers. The issue is about bodies. So every say we will start with 10 and we will end with 10, but we will give everybody an opportunity to participate in the process. What is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Do you believe that the authorities were trying to squash what it is you are trying to do in terms of showing solidarity, or do you think their primary concern was about safety, health and safety?
But there were no health issues in relation to what we were planning to do, because this is something that happened within the supermarkets in Barbados. So if it can happen there, then it can happen at the protest that we had yesterday. It could happen right there by the protest. So to me, it was no health issue. I feel they could take advantage of us. And that's what happened.
Let me close with this one, and then we open up the program. And of course, you have support from your brother Ulu. Sometimes he doesn't let me call his name, but it means something. They applied for permission to march, not to have 10 people. That was a condition set by the police. I see nothing wrong with rotating the 10 people. We open up the phone lines at 25 minutes past 11. We have our brother Nassar, brother Buddy Larrier, and brother David Denny on the line, and we take your calls here on Brasstack Sunday. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Peace be unto you and yours.
Yes, please.
To the staff and to all listeners. Corey, I am glad this morning to see, I'm speaking about what is going on there in Australia. I keep abreast of the Aborigines. You know what's going on in Australia with the Aborigines. There, and I'm glad this morning that they not only came out for what happened in America, but for those persons who been you know, under such, what I can say, I don't even know, I can't find the words to say it in Australia, and I'm glad that the people know, and I hope that they will continue, and those people will have a right of voice and some authority in Australia, because they're in the back. Very few of them get to reach, you know, good positions there, and they're suffering. So I am very, very, very glad. I didn't know. I glad that I come to this age before I die, that I see the rights of the Aborigines open up now to the world, and I hope that they will get their just due, because those people came and found them there, just like how they try to eradicate the blacks. But they are black too, but African people, and I'm very, very, very glad. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for inserting that. Thank you very much. Brasstack Sunday, good morning. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Hello, Brasstack Sunday, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Pretty well.
Good, good.
I want to take issue. I believe at the end of it, I will be Lambeth. Mm-hmm. Or I will have a millions of people will agree with me. This is almost 56 years after. We have a situation where technology has moved to everybody, almost everybody's hand. So what happened in the United States became an instant news item. Became an instant news item. So more people were aware of Floyd's death than they might have been aware of Martin Luther's death. Now, I'm saying this to say this. I am in sympathy with Mr. Denny. I'll tell you why I am in sympathy with Mr. Denny. Because he probably got caught in a situation of laws of transition. I'm saying that on correction. We are now in what we consider to be protocol. We are in a situation where we are carrying out the protocols of COVID-19. But also, standing in the background, Mr. Denny must understand that he was subject to the Public Order Act. He was subject to the Public Order Act, which in truth and fact would restrain him from having mobs or having gathering of people. Having been restrained, on one side was a set of black policemen, on the other side was a set of black Barbadians or Caucasian, whoever they may be. The answer, Mr. Lane, I'm saying to this is that it's obvious that we have not seen or any of our representatives involved in the exercise, much to the surprise, I believe, should be of Mr. Denny as well, because we have a black majority in our chamber. Besides that, under the Public Order Act, it would mean that there can be no gathering. So, obviously, Mr. Denny was having a gathering, so the police took the opportunity to disperse of the gathering. Even though he was conceding to the fact that he was going to have a system of rotation, the police still had control because there was a gathering. I believe what Mr. Denny should have done was to get some T-shirts or get some armbands and identify 10 people, another 10 people, and another 10 people along the way. In so doing, this will disperse all of those people who does not identify with the march. So the 10 people down Kalmarock Corner will replace the 10 people that start up top, or vice versa. So I think it's a case of identity. I would have skipped Mr. Denny yesterday, knowing directly that he was coming up against a system that would have suppressed him. I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I support it. But from the time I read his ploy and his plan, I said, well, this young gentleman is going to be up against the Public Order Act. So he would either have, take for example, under the Public Order Act, at one time I saw the police was trying to remove the loudspeaker that he had in his hand. Again, that would have been a breach, because you would have had to ask for permission to use the loudspeaker. All I'm saying to Mr. Denny, do not give up. All I'm saying to Mr. Denny is to apply in the right manner. You have a lawyer with you. Apply in the right manner and identify those people who want to protest, even if they're members of parliament. And so then you could do your rotation system. You could get the police to disperse the people who are not of your team. But eventually, about 10 minutes after, 15 minutes after, another 10 would replace them. So you're on constant plan of your move. And I hope that you get this done. Because based on international news, we came up with a fibs. We came up with a fibs. And I would believe that Barbados, being the tourist-oriented country it is, that we should be capturing all of the British news, all the news all over the world, that Barbados was the strong support of Floyd and that Barbadians could breathe. Thank you.
All right, let's get some reaction from the panel before we go back to the line. Who wants to go first?
Well, what I would say to Mark is that we tried to identify persons and things yesterday when we turn up, and all of the people were on the other side of the road, socially distancing, and we were going to supervise this process in a meaningful way. And if we were allowed to carry out our action, I know that would have happened. So, to me, I think that the police made a mistake in terms of enforcing the law, and therefore, I think that they should, you know, apologize for that mistake. Well, in terms of going forward, we are going to organize for next Saturday. We are going to send a letter tomorrow to the Commissioner of Police. And in that letter, we are also going to ask for a meeting with the Commissioner or his representative so that we can discuss process as it relates to the march for next Saturday. Because we do not want any confrontation with the about this police force, because all of us are law-abiding citizens. But we want to be able to participate in a peaceful process so that we can demonstrate, okay, so that we can stand in solidarity with our family members in the United States of America, and so that we can also highlight some of the racist issues in Barbados and police issues in Barbados. We have reached that stage.
Okay. Brother Nasser or Brother Buddy Laria?
Let me come in here because I'm surprised about Mark. If we are looking, Corey, is this a new beginning or is this something that will blow over and business continue as usual? It is a new beginning. Let's look back at Barbados. In 1816, Busser and his group did not follow protocol. And we had the Busser Rebellion. And things changed. And we had emancipation a few years later. Things change, but nothing changed. 100 years later, in 1937, the people did not follow protocol. And things change.
Buddy, forgive me, I want to jump in here. When is it okay? I'm gonna use yesterday's experience still to keep us on track of if we will go back to the norm. And the question I will ask, when is it okay to engage in civil disobedience? When is it okay for the public to determine, listen, 10 is not enough. We are the government collectively. Therefore, we will determine that we're going to rotate 10. Or on the other hand, should we follow the rules as laid down in the writing by what we call the system? That is the question I want to ask you guys. When is it okay?
It don't work like that.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us. Mm-hmm.
And this is why Denny is so right. I turned up there yesterday because the first thing I communicated to Denny when it was in public, I said, Denny, why are you having it on a Saturday when the United Nations Embassy is closed? It is through time. If you want to disrupt and get the message through, do it when the embassy is open.
But was the mission to disrupt the U.S. Embassy or to stand in solidarity? Because I don't know if you... No, go ahead.
Sending a message. Mm-hmm. The people all around the world are sending messages to the controllers of the system.
Right.
So if this thing happened in America and you want to send a message, it would be more appropriate if you're going to do it. Remember, this is not the first time that we picket the American embassy. This is not the first time. But when I went there yesterday, I expected to see what Jenny has outlined, the distances and the 10 people. When I got there, I was shocked because there was more than 100 people there, and mainly young people. So Jenny is absolutely right. And I said, wow, these are the young people are saying the time is right. So you don't plan a time unless you're using it as a strategy. So we are not strategizing yet. Things are happening. No one planned that in March that we would have had COVID. The government had planned regathering. The government had planned regathering. And regathering for Barbados is now put on hold in the way the government had planned it.
Because all right, buddy, I need you to stick a pin there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Brother Nasser, and then we continue to take the calls, questions, and, of course, some interesting WhatsApps that line up here for you. 22 minutes before noon, this is Brass Tack Sunday, and the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Cane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.